Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright
lights. With tonight's guest, director, writer, and storyboard magician, Joshua Hayes.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Trevor Green. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
It's no coincidence. I had an experience this weekend that reminded me of this show, and I couldn't wait to share this experience and then have our master storyboard artist tell us how we can do what more of what the experience, quote-unquote, illustrated. Pun intended. Okay, so here's what happened. I met a woman this weekend who I had met maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. And we met briefly, but she didn't seem to really take an interest in me business-wise, or I didn't seem interesting to her, and she didn't seem energetically like somebody that I could resonate with. And so we met, and that was nice and fine and all that, and then we went our separate ways. And now several many years later, a friend said, "You have to meet this woman." And I said, "Oh, I know this woman." And she says, "Well, she's amazing. She's this, she's us," all the things that didn't sound like the woman I met. I was willing to and more than excited to meet her, because if she had changed that much, then I wanted to know how she did it and why and all of that. So I met her, and she was everything my friend described. And I said to this woman, I have a question to ask you, but I have to say to you first that I am not the same guy you met 8 years ago. So I might have been the one that has changed, and now I could see you differently. But have you changed in these past however many 8 years or so? And she said, "Oh boy, have I." And what proceeded then was the story of how she changed, how she knew she wanted to change, how she was hoping she would change, and obviously the change that had ensued. And here we were, both of us couldn't stop talking with each other. I mean, we connected so strongly. And I thought, and I said to her, "You know, I met this guy who was so abrasive that same day, and he said he was your husband." And she laughed and she said, "Well, he's not my husband anymore. You see, that kind of personality that you experienced was the kind of thing that I was around. That was what I was attracting." However she said it, this is the major point, is that the story she was telling herself at the time was the story she was living out, and myself included. And we both knew at that time that we both wanted a new story. And so she started to craft the story in her head as to who she wanted to be and with whom. She now has that partner that she wanted to be with, and she's with him, and he's a great guy, and I connected with him too. I have the kind of life that I wanted 8 years ago, which I did not have then, based on the new story I created. And it was interesting that the time we spent together, we were talking about, and the story's going to be of what it's going to be and how we're going to be part of each other's story going forward. So stories are so important. And today we have a man who's not only a storyboard artist, we're going to talk a little bit what that means. He's an illustrator and an art director, but he's not just somebody that can draw something out. He is somebody that could take an idea and draw it out as if making the idea come to life. And so we're talking today about drawing your new story. Kind of like the experience that we were having with this woman and I. We were talking about painting the new story in our head. He's actually draws it out, and how this applies to your life as well. This is what we're talking about today with our guest, Josh Hayes. And a little later on, kind of a bit of a shaman kind of music kind of guy, Trevor Green. He's a singer-songwriter, instrumentalist, live music in the studio by Trevor Green. All that on the Life Changes Show right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm sitting here with Mark Lesher after that monologue.
That wasn't as monologue as others.
Okay, great. But, thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
But it was perfect and really sets the stage for this conversation with Josh, who is a very dear friend of mine, and I'm so honored to have him here. What he does is such a special skill, and how you drew it together in terms of how it plays out in our lives. You know, I think our stories, we even have stories within stories that kind of combine and form the bigger story. Mm. Kind of like, say, take macrame, for example. Sometimes you'll want to use a full hitch. Other times you'll want a double half hitch.
Wow. So, well, actually, in macrame, it's all weaved together.
That's my
like a story.
You just got it.
Wow. Yeah. Nice. Nicely done, Mark.
Thank you. And with that.
Was that it? Okay. So technically, you got four stories going in macrame, three or four or something like that. Three is braids, four is. Okay. And then you weave them together and you.
It's knots, braids, half hitches, and double half hitches. And occasionally a full hitch.
Did you look this up for something? Oh, that's hysterical. Okay. So. Is that are you done?
Yes.
Thank you. That was brilliant. Okay. So now I'm poor Josh is now going to have to tie in my story and the macrame and make it into something. Actually, if anybody can do it, I know he can. You know, I have to say, if you IMDb him, you'll be impressed with what he has done. As far as story artist and storyboard artist, he's done things like Rango and Lewis and Clark, or Lois and Clark, excuse me. The West Wing, I could go on and on, actually. Ghost Whisperer, ER, Chuck, The Lone Ranger, Immortals. It's quite interesting and quite impressive. Storyboard artist, illustrator, and art director, and now friend. Welcome, Josh Hayes, to the show.
Oh, thanks. It's a real pleasure to be here. I'm excited you guys invited me.
Well, you've actually been here several times sitting and watching the show, and thank you for being such a fan. I need you
and
to know.
Commenting as well.
And commenting, yes. in the peanut gallery. I have to say, I'm a fan of you as well, and I've had the pleasure of getting to hear your wisdom. So this is a perfect way to have people get to know you the way we know you.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I've been, and it's great to be here in this environment with your guys' energy. So let's see where this goes.
Absolutely. Well, actually, where I'd like to start talking about see where it goes is what is storyboarding? A lot of people don't know. And it's an art that that doesn't get enough attention in the business and very important.
Yes. Well, I think so anyway.
I think so.
Storyboarding was started, Walt Disney is given credit for bringing it to life, and storyboarding was used initially in animation so that they could map out the story, take the words and actually map them out in pictures long before they actually sat down to do finished animation, which is time-consuming and expensive. Live action, Hitchcock is famous for using storyboards, so he would sit down and map out every scene meticulously, and his whole thing was he would do so much preparation in advance that by the time he had done that, a monkey could direct it, is what he's quoted. So storyboarding is basically sitting down and taking a script and on paper, or now digitally, editing a movie in advance. So literally you're working how the shots are going to fit together so that everyone can look at the storyboards, whether it's stunt coordinators or makeup people or costumers, and sort of see what needs to be done in each shot.
So it'll come off without a hitch.
That's a Hitchcock joke for folks, just in case you didn't get that. That was a Hitchcock joke. Mark and Hitchcock were very good friends, and Mr. Hitchcock allowed Mark to call him Hitch.
Okay. Actually, that was a macrame reference.
Wow. Okay, so obviously we need to let the audience in on this, that Mark and Josh are really good friends.
Well, depends on the day.
Today, obviously, for sure. Thank you for explaining that. And a lot of people don't know this, and I think there are some really key things here. And first of all, I want to mention that you mentioned film, and you also mentioned animation, but it's used in commercials.
Yes.
It's used in all kinds of applications, actually.
Yes. In fact, in my career, I've worked in every aspect that I'm aware of that storyboarding works. So it's used for music videos. I actually just did some music videos for The Weeknd. Shh. I guess I can say that. I just can't tell you anything else about it.
Yes. Unfortunately.
I've worked. In fact, when I first started, I did a couple of Michael Jackson videos. In the beginning of my career, commercials.
That's a way to begin a career, I think.
Sure. You know, start out with the small stuff.
Sure, exactly.
Well, no, wait, but before that, you were working with some big companies like IBM, and I mean, are
correct.
You just...
But before I started this, before I moved to Los Angeles in 1993, I had started a graphic design studio in Boston, which still exists, called Stormship Studios. Then my now wife we fell in love, and she was moving out here. She's a makeup artist. And I moved out here in 1993 and tried to do everything I could. So I had done a little bit of acting back in Boston, so I tried a little acting, and I went out at an open call for the fabulous movie called Manasaur.
Wow.
Yeah, and they saw it. I didn't have a lot of credit, so I tried to beef up the special skills section of my resume as an actor. And I put storyboarding there because I had in college, I had shot some short films with friends and storyboarded it out. And so I wrote storyboarding, and basically they went, hey, if you storyboard our movie for us and we get the funding for it, we'll give you a part. And I said, sure, that's great. So I spent a month working for free, storyboarding it out. They got their funding. They made their movie. They did not give me a part, but it got me an agent. So I took those boards in, and it got me an agent.
Oh,
and the great irony is, 10 years later, I actually produced a short film for a friend. We were looking to get some costumes, some EMT costumes, and I went into this costume store, and I went, strange enough, it was smell that actually the smell in this place is familiar. And then I looked, and this guy had hair that was clearly white, but then it looked like he put shoe polish in it to make it brown. And I was like, oh my God, I've seen that before. And then behind him, I saw a Manasaur poster, and I said, oh, guess what? You know, I worked on this thing. You got your thing. You made your movie. I didn't get a part. You didn't. And he was a producer. He was the producer on the film. He didn't feel any compunction or obligation to me. He felt that he was actually did me a favor by launching my career.
Oh, but you know, that was the way you presented the story.
Perhaps.
Well, and so another thing that you said that was really important that I want to explore in depth when we come back, because you said without the storyboarding, it could be really expensive. Because what would they – tell us at least what would they do? They would have to do it and then say, no, that didn't work. And then, no, we didn't like it. Do it again, do it again, do it again, right?
Yeah. Yes. When you're standing around trying to make a decision, basically instead of having one guy in a room that you're paying for the entire crew. So that could be
And costumes and hair and lighting and everything.
So all those people. So, for instance, on a commercial, you might be for 30 minutes of figuring out a shot that might cost you $25,000, $30,000.
Wow. Okay. So this is why this is so important, and why we're calling this show what are we calling the show?
Drawing Your New Story.
I'm so into what he's saying. Drawing Your New Story. Because that's life. If we don't storyboard our life, talk about expensive. If we live out our Josh is pointing at me like, okay, so I should.
No, I like where you're going with this.
We should hold on to that.
Yeah,
okay, well, let's hold on to that. We're all in tune to that. Okay, so when we come back, we're going to be talking about that. And if you don't know what it is, you will when we get back with Josh Hayes, and a little later on, music by Trevor Green. This is so exciting. All here on the Life Changes show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Legere, our co-host, and our guest is Josh Hayes. He is a storyboard artist, an illustrator, an art director, and so much more. You know, it's interesting. We've mentioned a couple things, Michael Jackson and IBM and how those two mix, but obviously he can play in all kinds of worlds. And as I was just perusing a little more here, listen to this. Dozens of Super Bowl spots, Apple spots, McDonald's, Intel, Budweiser. These are the biggest. Coca-Cola, Nike, Lexus. Really, I could go on. MasterCard, Heineken, Jack in the Box, Pepsi. I mean, American Express, you can't get bigger than this.
Did you find yourself competing against yourself for best Super Bowl spot?
A couple of times, actually,
oh,
yes.
Funny.
Yes.
Oh, funny. But wait, there's more. And the Bernie Mac Show, and the West Wing, and the X-Files, and Saving Grace, and... Really? I mean, good for you. I'm so happy.
Thanks. Yeah, it's been fun.
That's exciting. Okay, so how perfect because, all right, so we were talking earlier about how, what were you saying? Actually, you said there was a wristband?
Oh, so I have to give a shout out to my friend Dave Lowry, who's an amazing storyboard artist and I got to work with on Rango. We shared an office together. And he's been doing this for a long time and not that he's old. He'd hate me for that. But he basically introduced me to the term wrist. So in Dave's professional opinion, there are two types of artists that work with directors.
Okay.
There are storyboard artists and there are wrists. And it's not an insult. It's just they're different styles.
Yes.
A wrist is somebody who just listens to the director and draws what they're asked to draw. A storyboard artist, in Dave's opinion, is somebody who's there and works right from the get-go with the director on how to figure out the best shots, the best way to do it.
Mm.
And that's something that I, from watching a lot of TV and that sort of stuff, excel at. You know, I joke with friends that you know, my mom was like, "You need to get outside and play." And I wish now I could go back to her and go, "Mom, I'm preparing for a career."
Because you were doing what?
I was actually studying shots. I discovered that I don't have a photographic memory, but I have a very strong visual memory. So that as shots were doing it, as shots were progressing, those things would stay in my head. So I can remember how sequences happen.
Okay, so we've established you're not a wrist. You're a storyboard artist. And so to the true sense of the term, then you can actually visualize the story and move it forward.
Yes.
And also visualize how people are going to see it or which angle they're going to see it at and all that. And so what I think is really interesting, because I know you have a personal practice of spirituality and looking to better yourself and all of that, is somehow that's got to play into it.
Yeah, I've actually thought, I've thought about this for a while. So there's a term now. So often storyboarding will then progress to another thing called pre-visualization. So literally they'll have computers that then will map out certain complicated scenes so that they can literally get it down to the second by second or exact lens.
Wow.
And I joked about the idea of, you know, people talk about visualization, and every day I do that. I sit there and I look at words and I close my eyes and I see the movie starting to play. Mm. And I thought, how could I ever translate that into helping people pre-visualize their life? So I've written a few lines yet for a book that I'd like to, you know, pre-visualize. Someday I'll get to that. But to your point, I do have a real practical skill of – how do you take an idea and then express it visually? You know, how do you change words? And I'm often frustrated by that because I'll read a script. I do a lot of commercials. I've done over 3,500 commercials in my career. And I chose that path mainly because movies take me away from my family and commercials allow me to stay here. So I get to sort of be around my daughter. She's growing up and that sort of thing. But
and you've been doing this for like 20 years, right?
20-ish.
Oh, and you're not old either. I'm just saying. Okay.
Yes.
He started when he was five.
When he was, okay. All right. So you were saying.
But the idea is oftentimes I'll read a script that an agency has written and I'll look at it and go, there's no way this can be shown in 30 seconds. Not a chance.
Oh, wow.
And sometimes I'm the only person in the room that knows that right out of the gate, and it'll take a while to find their way. But, you know, it's almost like, I could have told you that, you know, 2 hours will go by and we'll be like, wait a minute, this is like 4 minutes long. I'm like, So sometimes people just don't understand that expression, a picture paints 1,000 words, is often true. And that the other side is not always true, that sometimes people will express things in words and it's like, yeah, that sounds great. How are we going to show that? Right. Like in a novel, you can say, Bill looked across the room and he understood that the woman reminded him deeply of his mother by the way she moved her lips. I'm like, okay, that sounds great. Now, how do you show that?
Right. I've read that novel, actually. I look forward to the film. You sound like you're making it. Actually, for those who are interested in seeing, actually, they could see what we're talking about. So many visual images up on Josh Hayes' art.com. And Josh is Josh and then Hayes is Hayes art, art.com. Josh Hayes art.com. Or you can go to his agent site at Storyboarding Incorporated, which is INC.com. Storyboarding Inc.com. Is that right?
Storyboards Inc.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not ING.
Boards Inc.
Storyboards Inc.
Storyboardsinc.com. Okay, so before we went to the break, I was saying how life is really expensive. So if we could okay, so I'll just let you take it from there.
No.
I totally got it. Continue.
No, I think that that's, if we could take a breath before we do things and sort of think it out, feel it out, actually, because a lot of storyboarding for me is intuition. I don't know, you know, I think I've expressed this to Mark a couple of times, but that the best ideas for me don't come from my brain. They come from somewhere else. And I feel that in one area in my life, particular storyboarding, I think it's because of experience now. And I think spirituality has played a part in it, is the fact that I feel that I'm definitely in my mode when we're in the room with the director and we're just bouncing ideas off of one another and trying to get the story to move forward. Ego is out of the picture. I'm feeling my way through it, but in pictures. And I think that could be a really fascinating thing to have people sort of take a moment and go, you know, I want to be successful. Great. What does success look like to you? What does it really look like? What does it feel like to you? As opposed to just going, I need to be successful, or I need to be rich, or I need to be this. What does that look like specifically? Can you see that picture? Now, that's visualization. I'm not, you know, lots of other people have purported that idea, and it seems to work.
But not in this way, Josh.
Not specifically in this way. And maybe you've just launched a whole new career. Call me up. I'll come to your house.
No, no, seriously,
we'll sketch out what you're thinking about for your future.
We are a very visual society.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able... Oh my God! Yes. So people being able to tell you what they visualize as their successful life, and you being able to storyboard that.
Yeah. Then they can string it out into a frame, put it over the mantle, have it there in the future,
and see it every day.
Watch their life unfold before their very eyes.
See their life taking place in front of them. Wow.
There you go.
Instead of at their end of their life, seeing their life flash before them.
It's in pre-flash your life.
Oh, wait a second. Maybe that's not such a good idea.
No. It's a great idea. And so, Josh, the other thing about you is that I've gotten to see you in semi-business settings where I see where you kind of you're a very stabilizing force. So you like, just like you described, sometimes people don't know what they want. And sometimes if you tell them, like, I have the idea, they might not hear it. Mm-hmm. And they'll go against it. So you have a way, I'm deducing, that of guiding people and allowing them to have their process. Is that true? And
yes, I often refer to the fact that my career is, I liken it to being part fireman, part bartender. Fireman, because we have to come in at a moment's notice. I often walk into a situation and I don't know what I'm getting myself into.
Yeah, and it has to be done tomorrow.
Correct.
Right.
And I've storyboarded in helicopters. I storyboarded in a submarine. You know, I've been in. You know, so
with
just
a
being
fox in a box.
Exactly.
And
exactly. But the other thing is, it's a very intimate relationship, because basically what I'm trying to do is help a director get something that's in their head down on paper, and I want to do whatever I can to encourage that. And I will challenge ideas that they put forward and that sort of thing. But ultimately, my job is to nurture their vision and get it down so that the rest of the team understands what they're really trying to do.
I think what we're talking about is a really great example of macrame. Now, follow me on this.
I'm with you. Come on.
No. Well, because
just to be clear, this joke started before I got here.
Okay, so because in a sense, your business persona, you walk in, you're hired to do something. Then you have this other personal side where you have your personal spiritual practice, but the two come together. When they're hiring that business person, people don't know, they are hiring sometimes more often that other guy.
Yes, I think, to be honest, I think the reason I've had a successful career over a long period of time is not because I'm the best drawer. There are a lot of artists that whose work I look at and go, oh my God, if I could only draw like that, that would be great. I think what I do is, because I owned a business beforehand, I'm very... client oriented. So I do what I can to go beyond. I learned that I'm not just working for the artist. If I do well by the producer and the production team, that also endears me to them, and they'll hire me and bring me back for other things. Mm-hmm. But I also believe that, you know, my wife is a makeup artist, and she learned early on in her career that she wasn't just making the actors look good. Mm-hmm. Her job while they're in their chair before they go out to do their performance, she felt anything she can do to make them feel more confident to do their job.
Wow.
So she would talk to them and engage them and encourage them and tell them, you know. And I sort of tried to steal a book from her page, a page from her book.
That's the whole book, huh?
From her library. I stole the whole book. I don't want just a page when you can have the whole book.
Give him a page, you'll take a book.
And so basically, I try to do that. My job really is to encourage the director, because it's a very vulnerable place. I mean, you're right. How many times have you had an idea up here and then you put it down on paper and you're like, that's crap. You know, it's like, it sounded good here, but you know, when you see it down there, it's not. Yeah. So to try to really get that out and do my best to encourage them to bring out their best, you know, vision.
I love this. I knew a lot of beautiful things would come out, but I didn't expect that in particular. To me, that is what we need more of in this world, exactly that. And for each of us to have somebody like that that we work with that can encourage us in that way. Could you imagine the best drawer in the world or even the best storyboard artist in the world could sit down with the director and have the director say the very first thing that came to his mind and have the artist go, well, that's crap. That's the stupidest idea I've ever heard. How much? How effective is that going to be?
Well, not at all. And I learned something from improv and life improvement, which is a class you taught that I took. And just, you know, so that we're saying everything open. I've taken two workshops with Filippo, who is, if you get the chance to study with Filippo, I highly recommend it.
Thank you.
You give a plug to everyone else. I think you should have a plug.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
In improv, right, it's yes and. Mm-hmm. So I really try when a director puts something out, instead of going, that's ridiculous, I go, uh-huh, and we can do this. Or, what happens if we – and the whole process is actually really fun for me. The drawing part is sort of now the work part.
Interesting.
It's the collaboration part that I will go anywhere, anytime and do because I love being a part of something that's bigger than me. Right, that we will both exchange ideas and we'll be like, what about this? No, not that. But and then you discover the fact that neither of you had the right idea, but both of you were guiding yourselves in the direction.
Nice. So. See, we need more of that too. So, joshhayesart.com or storyboardsinc.com. Storyboardsinc.com. When we come back, Josh, we're just going to have a few more minutes together, but I'm curious how this all moves forward. Like, what's your next step? Because you've done so much and worked with the best, and they've gotten to work with the best, you. And so where have you storyboarded your life moving forward? I'm very curious in that. And in just a little bit, live music here at Studio NoHo by Trevor Green, singer-songwriter and instrumentalist, all on the Life Changes Show right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
See, we're back to Nickelback.
Okay, that threw me off. I'm Philippe Voltaggio sitting here with Mark Leisure and Josh Hayes, and we're having so much fun. Josh says I can come back every week. I'll just pretend to be different people.
Just do a little research online. Yes.
Oh, that threw me off. That's funny.
I'm an anthropologist. Or I played one on TV. I drew one on TV. That is one thing. I joke when I talk to my other friends that I went to art school with that the fascinating thing about storyboarding is I've probably drawn things like I've drawn zombies eating sandwiches, things, if you name it, like, oh, yeah, have you drawn a tiger demanding gum? I'm like, yep, last week.
Literally?
Yes.
Demanding gum.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I see you drawing something macrame in the future. Anyway, so,
Really, you guys are just not going to let that joke go. It's a running gag.
So
okay.
If we had you on the show in a year, what would have changed, do you think?
That is a very good question. A couple of years ago, from a spiritual standpoint, it's actually not a couple of years. It's been like 8 years now. I sold my interest in the design studio I had in Boston, and I developed spec commercials because I worked a lot in the commercial world, and I thought, oh, I'll shoot some spec commercials, I'll get representation, and I'll launch a career, and I'll be a successful commercial director. I shot the spec commercials with a friend. We actually shared resources, and we each shot a couple of spec commercials. We then ultimately it was suggested that we join forces, so we became a male-female director duo. We did get representation at a production company called 1111 Productions in New York. We got a few jobs, but then the writer strike had happened, a union writer strike, and the SAG strike had happened. So basically, a lot of productions stopped. And two other major things were happening, which was big directors were now directing commercials. So famous directors were directing commercials. And the style that we directed was big, moving storytelling. And everyone's like, we're just going to shoot a piece of toast with some light on it, you know, that sort of thing. And so our style was
what on it?
Light.
Oh, light.
Light.
Is what it, I'm like, is that a different light. Kind of butter?
No, just light. Just light. And I would sit across from the directors. So when my career didn't really happen that way, I was bitter for like a year or so. And I'd sit across from directors and I'd be like, you know, I'm smarter than you. I'm nicer than you. Mm. You know, and that is no way to live your life. Mm. So I was covetous. Yeah. Covetous. Covetous?
Mm. Covetous.
Yeah. I was just not a happy place. And at a certain point, I took a walk, a hike in the hills above the Hollywood sign, and I was having my Tevye moment with God, and I was like, you know, if I'm not supposed to do this, you know, help me get rid of it. If I'm supposed to do it, tell me what the next, give me a sign. What's that? And I took like three or four steps, and I was struck with this thought of three guys in a boat. And I went,
three guys in a boat.
That's what you're giving me? Three guys in a boat? Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks for playing.
Were you bitter about that too at the time?
No, I just didn't get it. And I fell asleep that night and woke up about 2 o'clock in the morning and started writing dialogue. And that three guys in a boat has turned into two drunk guys wake up in a boat with God. Oh. And it's a spiritual comedy short called Found, which I am trying to find a producer for and to get out into the world because I wanted to try to use humor and my ability as a visual storyteller to personalize God and to give people, I mean, basically the message that I was struck that came out most strongly in writing it was, you know, that expression, the house always wins.
Uh-huh. In Vegas?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. This is God's house.
Ah.
And that we really, what basically happens toward the end of the script is God basically says, yeah, you know, free will is a real thing, but basically I didn't, you know, I built in a fail safe so that you guys can take this wherever you want it to go. But basically at the very brink of things, it's all going to work out.
And that feels good.
That if the world knew that, we there would be a lot less worry in the world.
Just to have to stay in the light.
Wow. Yes, exactly.
That feels good. Okay, so two references there. So you're talking Vegas gambling, that the casino always wins kind of thing, right?
Right.
And the Tevye moment is,
yes.
Is that Fiddler on the Roof?
Fiddler on the Roof.
Okay, mm-hmm. Musical.
Yep,
okay.
Absolutely. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Okay, so all this to say that a year from now, you're going to talk about...
A year from now, I would have loved to have directed Found and have it be out there. I am also, after taking your guys' Life Improvement class, I got to say that was sort of the final sort of impetus to do it, is I am in a mode of yes and. I literally have... one of the dangerous things about having a successful career is that I got in a mode of being afraid to take certain chances because I didn't want to suck. So I literally now have on a piece of paper above my drafting table the phrase, success, failure is your new success. So wow. I'm basically saying yes and. So I was asked to teach a class through the union that I'm a part of. I'm asked to be a part of a project that Mark is working on that sounds very exciting. So I'm really in this mode sort of moving forward. And I would love to develop more and more. I'd written a children's book, which actually my company, Stormship Studios, the book never went anywhere. But the title was The Mysterious Stormship. And I used that for the design studio in Boston. But I discovered that in that book, it was all really was faith-based. You know, basically they had to walk in the clouds, these kids. Mm-hmm. And this kid says, I can't do that. And this captain of the ship basically says, you can do anything you want. All you need is the right equipment and a little faith. And that has now become sort of I've wanted, and I also tried to help develop a production company in North Carolina. That didn't go anywhere. Wow. But in writing the business plan, I learned something for myself, which was the tagline that we used for the business plan I carried with me, which is, I want to influence the world with messages of faith, hope, and love. That is my desire.
Wow. You know, the subtext here, if people are listening to these words, first of all, a storyboard artist could learn a whole heck of a lot listening to this man. And not just in the show, but obviously he's got much more to say. But one of the things he's been saying, he's extremely successful, obviously. And he's also shared very openly about his quote-unquote, what other people might call failures. And he hasn't hid that. And in his life, with his successes, he's also had those failures. And he even said how at times he was bitter about it, but that's no way to live life. Your whole message is faith-based, all the way up to this movie, Two Drunks in a Boat. And I can't wait, because to me, that's kind of like any person experiencing God. It's not the guy up in the mountain. It's not the Buddha. It's like anybody just like me, you know. It's so I wish you the best with that. I if there's anything I can do to help, let me know.
I think you just did it.
Well, there it is.
There you go.
Okay, so joshhayesart.com. Can people get a hold of you through either that or storyboardsinc.com?
Either way. Actually, if you go to my website, you can actually send me email, and I will respond. And you could reach out through my agent as well.
You're so gracious and magnanimous. Josh Hayes, thank you for being with us today. What a pleasure.
It was a great pleasure for me. Thank you very much for having me.
What a great guy. Okay, when we get back, Trevor Green live here at Studio No on the Life Changes Show after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm your host, Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Legere, co-host, and our guest, Josh Hayes, is with us. And joining us in the studio is singer, songwriter, instrumentalist, Trevor Green. Welcome, Trevor, to the show.
Thank you.
Trevor, I know a handful of people that know you and love you, and they talk about you like you're this shaman that brings music into the hearts and souls of people. How do you feel about that?
That's a powerful statement.
I would say so. That's why I'm asking you.
I think I just do, my craft is, not to sound selfish, but I do it for myself, and however that translates for people that receive it. I don't go out with any intention of fixing the world or healing anybody. It's all personal work that... Well,
people have talked about feeling changed after listening to your music, or feeling something deeper or something deep coming from you. And I think they reference the Native American sounds or something like that.
Yeah, over the past, that's pretty recent. Over the past maybe 4 years, I've had a lot of Native American influence. I used to meditate on a piece of land in the Southern California coast and write a lot of music there. And I started praying to... I was searching for roots. You know, I don't know my own roots very well as far as European nature goes. And I was born here and put my feet on this soil. So I started really being interested in that. And I think kind of piggybacking on what you guys were talking about earlier, you draw it up and it shows up, kind of thing, you know? So I prayed about it and it came. So.
And you also play some very interesting instruments. So you're holding one right now, which is a guitar-ish?
Yeah, this is a Weissenborn-style guitar. It wasn't made by Greg Weissenborn. This was made by a fella down in Mexico who makes them and sends them up to Berkeley and sells them up there. But it's a completely hollow-bodied lap slide guitar. And Greg Weissenborn was the first crafter of this style out in the 20s in Hawaii.
Now, you've got it laying across your knees. Are you actually going to play it like that?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, like a
yes,
steel
played
guitar.
With this slide board.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I can't wait to hear that. And you also play the didgeridoo and I mean, where'd that come from?
Yeah, I used to live in the Northwest.
Or more than one at a time, actually.
I do a lot of, it's a multi-instrumental thing that I do. I play guitar, didgeridoo, sing, and kind of drum simultaneously, if that makes sense. I try to use it all. Like, we got them, so we might as well use them, right?
Well, everything I've heard from you goes deep, and funny, I've also heard some covers, and it's like you pick the deepest of the cover songs
cool.
to sing.
Very cool.
So how do you get your inspiration for your music, and is there a message you're trying to have come across?
Oh, man, early on, it was just something I loved, and it was still something that I just love. I love creating music and making sounds. And songwriting was something that kind of formed over time. I used to just play with groups. I'd play, you know, the lead guitar or whatever. And it wasn't until about 10 years ago that I really started songwriting and went on that whole journey of expressing my own process. And I've found in the past 5 years, I've begun to get a hold on kind of, or at least closer to a grasp of what and why this thing has chosen me in this lifetime, and it's become this really, it's a beautiful process for me to dive into myself and figure out who I am and where I've come from and where I'm going,
and helping people in the meantime through the music. So, what are we going to hear today?
Oh, I came with this guitar, and I've got a couple tunes off the new record that I thought I'd play. So, probably play Open Minds first.
Open Lines?
Open Minds.
Oh, Open Minds. Okay.
Yeah. We can open the lines too.
Is of communication
yes,
to
yeah.
the okay. And is that self-explanatory?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here's Trevor Green singing live at Studio NoHo, Open Minds, from his new CD on the Life Changes Show.
Above these broken walls, and the prophecy thought once lost in time has come to light through open minds. And we're rising.
root my feet into the ground, where the found get lost and the lost get found, and the waters flow from the clearest of streams. This endless life is a living dream. Rise above these broken walls, and the prophecy thought once lost in time has come to light through open minds. And we're rising.
Thank you so much. The song is Open Minds, and that's from Voice of the Wind, right?
Correct.
Trevor Green, yeah. Voice of the Wind.
Yeah.
That CD is available at his website, trevorgreenmusic.com, also on iTunes and CD Baby and Amazon.
Yeah.
trevorgreenmusic.com. I should spell that. Trevor, T-R-E-V-O-R, Green, G-R-E-E-N, music.com. Trevor, I don't know who wrote this, but I want to echo it and say, with his honest delivery and ability to extricate the music from a deep place of truth, he leads his audience through vast landscapes of sound, weaving together a magnetic and spellbinding performance. And is this something that you said, I follow the music where it leads me? Did
yeah.
you say that?
I think that's in the bio, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. It is kind of, I feel like that's what, if I relate it just to music, but I guess just life in general or art in general, that's the type of stuff that I've, doesn't really matter to me what type of demographic. I've always gravitated towards things that seemed real. You know, you watch it and you're like, wow, that just, yeah. So, you know, all walks of life and creativity, it's just like when you're exuding truth, it's kind of that undeniable, like, I want to hold on to that for a second.
Yet another thing we need more of in this lifetime.
Well said.
You went on to say, through this process, I find the music always comes from an honest place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And tell us real quickly, the music comes to you and you say it comes to you complete?
Most times it does, yeah. And it's become more happening more like that than ever before.
Wow.
My songwriting, I don't really push. I know that, like, as an artist, you have to create, which can sometimes be overwhelming. I do lay there at night sometimes thinking, like, what's coming? Like, I got to create something, you know?
Mm.
And then through some learned meditations that I have, I'm able to calm myself down and trust that it's going to show up when it's supposed to show up. And if it's a forced thing, it's not going to feel that cool anyway. So just let it all move through and trust in the process.
Will you teach me how to do that?
That's funny you say that, because I was thinking the same thing when I was sitting over there. I need to storyboard my, we'll talk.
We'll talk, absolutely. I look forward to that.
And I see a music video on the horizon.
Yeah, cool.
That was the voice of the wind telling me that's what's coming down the pike. Voice of the Wind is the name of the CD. Do we get to hear another song?
Yeah, I could play the title track, Voice of the Wind.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah. Here's Trevor Green.
All right.
Trevor Green. Singing live in Studio NoHo on the Life Changes Show, the title track of Voice of the Wind, Voice of the Wind.
Way up, 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 way up
Wow. Trevor Green.
Bravo.
Thank you so much. That was Voice of the Wind, the title track of his CD. You can get it at trevorgreenmusic.com. Also on iTunes and CD Baby and Amazon. You could follow Trevor on Facebook at Trevor Green Music. Just put in Trevor Green Music. However, on Twitter, it's without the O, right? T-R-E-V-R.
I think so. Yeah,
because
correct.
It didn't fit, right? Correct. So his name is T-R-E-V-O-R. but on Facebook, take out the O, Trevor Green Music without the O, just so you can start. I mean, on Twitter. So you could follow him there. I have to say a big thank you to one of your biggest fans who is one of your biggest fans. And she happens to be our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue. Thank you so much for so wanting for Trevor to be on the show and making it happen for us.
Thank you, Dorothy.
And thank you, Trevor. It's beautiful. I wanted to ask you that the Eaho, is that a language and it means something?
Yeah, that just came out.
Yeah,
and that particular tune was dedicated to my Navajo brother, and so it just kind of was something that happened. I actually went through a process as that was happening and thinking, like, I don't know how that's going to feel singing. You know what I mean? Like, what are people going
to
think?
Well, it feels good to us.
Well, just see that process of like,
yeah.
And it just went through that. Well, the Spirit's telling me to sing that. And,
wow.
And so, yeah, it is. It's not particular to any native language, but
it's universal.
I think maybe it is because we're all native. So, yeah.
So there it is.
It's real.
Well, whatever is happening, we're glad it's happening. And thank you for making it happen here, live with us here on Life Changes Show. So thank you to Trevor Green. I am so moved from the music that we had with Trevor Green and the great conversation with our friend Josh Hayes. I am so moved. Mark, you're looking at me like you're moved too?
I'm moved.
Okay.
Move to crocheting or whatever.
Macrame. Oh, and we were going down such a deep path. But humor is good. So
I'm prepared to kill that anytime.
I'm a huge macrame fan.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I actually wear macrame beanies all the time.
And there it is.
We sell them at the shows, man.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So there
Brilliant.
It is.
It wove all together.
I love it. Okay. Well, with that, I want to give a big thank you to Brent Hahn here at Studio Noho for making us all sound so good. And
thank you, Brent.
Thank you, Brent. Yeah. And to Doug Newsom, our BBS radio program manager, a big thank you to him as well. Dorothy Donahue, our executive producer, and on behalf of Mark Legere, our co-host, and myself, host Filippo Voltaggio, want to remind everybody that as your life changes, like ours just did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.